I've been in this place because of what Bishop has been teaching so much on that is really touching my life, which is what our last conference was on was intimacy. And what does that mean, and how do you achieve intimacy? You know, we was in a meeting yesterday and we was talking about those things, and I got kind of wound up a little bit about it, and I realized that this is truly a place where my heart is now in a real way, because it creates an excitement. It creates that leap in my heart when I talk about it and hear about it. Is this concept of intimacy, and what does that mean? And is it really, where do we see it in Scripture? Bishop talks about his time as a footstool time. And that doesn't work for me. You know, we're all so different. We all have different personalities, a different way of perceiving, you know, the world around us. And what I'm finding is what really works for me is the idea of the garden. Because years and years ago in Genesis, when you read about the garden, it was something that really affected my life and all. And that story, the very first story of man's interactions with God. You know, and it says that God created man and he created this garden. And then we pick up the story that God is coming to the garden in the cool of the day to fellowship with man. That was God's heart. Man was not coming to God. God was coming to man. And he is in a very specific place, because it says he was coming to this garden. I'd like to read you a definition of garden because I looked it up from Wikipedia. It says here, it is a planned space, usually outdoors, set aside for the display, cultivation, and enjoyment of plants and other forms of nature. I think they missed the real definition of garden. I think the more the biblical definition would be a space that's set aside very specifically for communion, face to face, walking with Christ, with God, in the cool of the day. Now, I grew up in Florida on the beaches, you know, and that was always like the thing to do, is in the afternoons, because it'd be like so stinking hot during the day, you know, particularly when we had those times where there was very little breeze. And so being a beach kid and everything, that was our time to hang out. And so like if we was dating somebody or trying to date somebody or something, and this was usually kind of what you did, is you went for a walk in that cool part of the day. Because it was just, the day was over, you'd done all the stuff that you had to do, the work, the toil, and then this now was the time of winding down to prepare for sleep and everything. And so, you know, you'd go for a walk. And I think most couples do that in some way. They tend to go for those walks in the afternoon. And see, I find that very interesting to me in the way I think and process information, is that God so placed that into our hearts to do that kind of a thing. And so I began to look through Scripture to find these places of gardens and what was going on in gardens and stuff. And it's really amazing, because it's continually, even to this very last Scripture in John, is that where did Jesus be buried? Who was he buried? It was in a garden. See, the message of Christ has never changed from the Garden of Eden until today. It's this message of calling us to an intimate relationship, however we call that, footstool time. Some of the monastic traditions, it's contemplative time. And throughout church history, you see this constantly weaving in and out of different traditions. In the monastic traditions, it's a huge part of what they do. And even into our Protestant traditions, at the fathers from the Catholic traditions, they all have quiet time. But the thing is we've got mixed up. that we think these times are all about something that they're really not about. Because one of the things that the Lord, that Bishop has been saying that I'm trying to grasp, and as I was praying last night, just going, Lord, I hear this, but I need to experience this. That I'm already there. See, I don't know about you guys, but as I came into the CC and I came out of a charismatic, extreme fundamental charismatic world, I knew zero about the Catholic world and about the ancient church. And so as I began to learn more, and I just started reading everything by mystics, because I like mystics. They're like really cool people. They're as crazy as I am. Well, maybe not quite that crazy, but what they write about is a relationship with Christ. And they all write about it in different ways. But the problems in so many of the writings is that they leave us, or they left me, let me put it that way, reading them, with this idea that I had to do something. You know, St. Teresa, her writings about the 12 castles, you know, and you had to go through this series of rooms. St. John of the Crosses, Dark Night of the Soul. And so many of them, that was their understanding. It was their understanding. And it was very awesome. But it wasn't quite what God's understanding was. See, God's understanding has always been, He created the garden. And He's put you in this garden. And His greatest desire in the world is to come to you in this garden and to simply walk with you. Simply walk with you. Hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, talking about His kingdom and what's going on in His kingdom. I don't know if you've ever went for a walk with someone who's like incredibly interesting, that's had an incredible life journey, and have went on one of those kind of walks. You get the privilege of walking with them in whatever setting that would be in. And you hang on every word they speak to you. And like you really only speak enough to keep the conversation going because you're wanting to hear their story. Because you see, you know your story. And it's the other person's story. Like, who would not want to go for a walk with Mother Teresa? And what would you say? What would you say if you had that privilege to go to walk with a person like a Mother Teresa? Or for those of us who are not much into the Catholic world, how about Heidi Baker? What would you say? I don't think you'd say very much. I think you'd hang on every word that comes out of their mouth because they're such tremendously interesting people that have known God in such a tremendous, profound ways. Different, but yet equally as profound. And that's what God wants with us. He just wants us to walk with Him and to hang on every word that He says. Because He so wants to share His kingdom. He so wants to share His heart to us. But see, we tend to get caught up into the how-tos of doing something. And so, you know, I can remember when I was first trying to be a contemplative. And I'd sit and I'd read something by a contemplative guy or woman. And then I'd light a candle. I had like an oil candle thing. And I had like a little area in my home. And I would kneel and I'd sit and I'd pray. And then I'd get all contemplative and all this kind of stuff. And it helped. It was a part of my journey. But the biggest part of that journey was when I just shut up, you know, and would sit quietly. And that's the greatest thing about the contemplative tradition. Because no matter what, in every real, true contemplative, there may be all this stuff, you know, this how you do it kind of stuff, but they always come down to, like, becoming quiet and listening. And it's a place of listening in the heart. Because that's where God wants to speak. He doesn't so much, which I know that as Westerners we'll find this very confusing to us, he does not want to speak so much to our intellect as he wants to speak to our heart. See, because God's ways are not our ways. He's so much smarter than we are. So intellectually, we come into this thing as at a that you know, severely limited. I don't know about you, but have you ever been like with someone who was like super, super smart? Like one of these highly academic, you know, incredibly smart people, mm-hmm. you know? And like you're like with them for like 30 seconds and you're going like, what are they saying? Like, what, you know, I don't even have a dictionary that have those words in it. I remember we had a speaker at one of our kind of convocation, international convocation. Forget his total name, but his last name was Chan. He wrote this tremendous book, and he was our guest speaker. And so I went to buy another book from him and spoke to him for a minute. And he said, "Well, how do you like my book?" And I said, "Well, I have one major problem with your book." And he said, "Because this guy teaches theology at a school," and I said, "is that I don't have a dictionary for the words that you use in your book." You know, but between the words I didn't understand, the other words were awesome. But if we tried to really carry on an intellectual conversation with God, I know that I would be lost immediately. But that's the thing, is that he wants to communicate in the heart, where the heart understands his, because our heartbeat, his desire is for our heartbeat to beat with his heartbeat. You know, and Bishop talks about the Apostle John laying his head on the breast of Christ and hearing that heartbeat. And I think that's kind of what happened to John at that time, is that as he listened and was just there, his heart began to beat in rhythm for the Lord. And that's what God desires of us. It's simple. It's awfully complicated to get there for some reason that I don't understand. And so I'm praying, and I ask y'all's prayers for me, is that I will come to totally be able to accept the fact that it's actually done. That I don't have to do anything. You know, I just need to find that place of waiting in the garden that God's placed me in here in Selma today, and let my heart begin to beat in rhythm with his heart, and then just begin to hang on every word that he would speak. Amen. May your hearts beat with the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.